The May 5th peace accord was mediated by the African Union following nearly 2 years of off-and-on talks between the Sudanese government and Darfur rebel groups. The agreement raised hopes of bringing an end to more than 3 years of war in the vast, arid western Darfur region. The war has killed an estimated 200,000 people and uprooted some 2 million others from their villages. But questions remain about how well the accord can be implemented. For instance, how to disarm the government-backed Arab militias known as the Janjaweed, held responsible for the most serious atrocities, including genocide. Colin Thomas Jensen, a researcher at the International Crisis Group who spent time at the Abuja talks, says the Darfur Accord is built upon three major issues: security, power sharing, and wealth sharing.
The final deal has fairly detailed security arrangements for the disengagement of forces, disarmament. There are loose provisions for the disarmament of the Janjaweed. That's something that still needs to be worked out, as well as for the integration of some of the SLA forces into the Sudanese armed forces and the police. On the wealth sharing, there's money from the central government for rehabilitation. There's a small pot of money for compensation.
Thomas Jensen says for the rebels, there will be some power sharing on the state level. Only one rebel group out of three, the Sudanese Liberation Army, signed the deal along with the Khartoum government. In doing so, the rebels got one big prize, although not precisely what SLA leader Mini Arku Minawi pressed for.
At the presidency, at the level of the presidency, there's a something called a senior assistant to the president, which is the new position created by this agreement, which is essentially has the function of a vice president, but is not called a vice president. Finally, there is established a transitional authority for the region, a sort of quasi-regional government that will stay in place for the next few years to administer some of the region-wide programs of rehabilitation with the money that they've received from the central government.
A big issue at the negotiating table was a return to Darfur status in 1994 when it was a single region with its own government, in effect trying to reverse the breakup of Darfur into three separate states. Thomas Jensen says that move completely diluted the power of Darfur's largest ethnic group, the Four. Khartoum pushed to keep the region split. Thomas Jensen says, to their credit, African Union mediators tried to meet the parties halfway. They offered rebels regional authority, but on a temporary basis, to oversee the implementation of the peace deal. However, to appease rebel demands, the final deal also built in a referendum on turning Darfur back into a single region. For Thomas Jensen, one of the accord's most serious weaknesses is how to disarm the warring parties. Rebels, including the SLA, who ended up agreeing to the provision, are not happy.
Specifically, the timing for the disarmament of the Janjaweed, the government wanted these processes of disengagement, disarmament of rebels and Janjaweed forces to occur concurrently. The rebels, many especially, felt that the Janjaweed should be disarmed completely, or at least concrete steps taken towards disarmament before he began his own process of standing down.
But that issue and many others in the deal have been left to be decided later by special commissions, and as such, timelines are vague, which leaves open the possibility of more fighting. Already there have been reports of sporadic fighting and accusations of attacks. Another potential problem is the deal envisions a newly unified national army, with former rebel fighters standing alongside their former enemy combatants, the pro-government Janjaweed. For researcher Thomas Jensen, the most serious concern is enforcement.
The biggest issue is in this atmosphere of chronic mistrust, with multiple armed groups roaming around, how do you, with the agreement in place, how do you actually implement it? How do you ensure that those parties that signed live up to their commitments? And the only way that can really happen is with a large multinational presence on the ground, with a mandate to protect civilians and with clear guidelines as to what are the punishments for failure to comply with the terms of the agreement.
The United Nations has already begun taking steps to deploy such a peacekeeping force to enhance the 7,000 or so African Union troops already in Darfur. But it can only be deployed with the permission of the Khartoum government, which has yet to approve the proposed mission, saying it wants more input into the size and mandate of the operation. Catherine Maddox, VOA News, Washington.